Broadcasting from the Taz and Lake Lodge Studios.
Sporting Journal Radio.
Sporting Journal Radio. The Midwest's radio home for the outdoors. Online at sportingjournalradio.com.
All right, welcome to the show. My name is Brett Ammons, and thank you for tuning in on this station right here. 29 stations across the region, soon to be 30. In fact, next week, we're coming to Rochester. Minnesota 97.5. You'll be able to listen to us in Rochester Saturdays at 7 a.m. All right, it's the greatest hit station there in Rochester. And of course, you can stream the show on demand at sportingjournalradio.com. And then you can listen to the podcast wherever you get your favorite podcasts. So we're staying at home in Minnesota and Wisconsin and a number of states around the country. What does that mean? Well, in both Minnesota and Wisconsin and the states in the area, they've encouraged people to still enjoy the outdoors, but do it while still practicing social distancing and do it close to home. We'll discuss what that means and why traveling to go fishing or hunting right now is not necessarily a great idea. Joe Henry will join us to talk about that and why the Rainy River accesses are closed. He wasn't a part of that decision process. Lake of the Woods Tourism wasn't a part of it, but of course they're paying attention to what's happening up there and getting the word out. So we're going to discuss how that came down and how long that might take place up on the Rainy River with Joe coming up here in a little bit. Also, one of the more interesting interviews I've done in a long time, Sean Witt will be our guest. He's from the Netherlands and he fishes giant pike. I had no idea they had big pike like this in the Netherlands. And he goes between the Netherlands and Sweden. We're going to talk about how they fish, what kind of fish they have over there. You might be surprised at how similar it is to fishing for walleyes here versus the Zander over there or big pike here, big pike there. They also have perch and they have these big catfish too, some giant, giant fish. So we'll talk to Sean about that and what he likes to do to catch big pike coming up later in the show. This week's show brought to you by Lake of the Woods Tourism. We'll be planning trips to Lake of the Woods, hopefully sooner than later. Plan yours at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. By Devil's Lake, Hay Bale Heights on Devil's Lake, haybaleheights.com. They'll be chasing walleyes this summer out of the boat. They chase perch in the snow bears. In the wintertime, go to haybaleheights.com. Also brought to you by Tazen Lake Lodge in northwest Saskatchewan. We better be traveling by the summer, because that's where I'm going to be spending a lot of time this summer, is on the island at Tazen Lake, chasing giant lake trout and giant pike. Go to TazenLake.com for more details. By Prairie Sportsman, another new episode coming up. Man, it depends on what part of the state you're in. But on Saturday, March 28th, you can watch our Cast and Blast Southern Style. That includes a pheasant hunt near Austin and walleye fishing near Albert Lea. That's on TPT Life at 12:30 p.m. on March 28th. Exploring Red Lake. We go for stream trout on the Red Lake Reservation. And then we also fish out of a double-decker fish house on Red Lake. And then we go check out the Lost 40. It's a very cool episode. And that's for our Duluth listeners. That's on WDSE at 4 p.m. on March 28th. And then our Cast and Blast up north. That's where we went goose hunting and walleye fishing at Lake of the Woods. That'll air for our Brainerd and Bemidji area listeners and viewers. You can watch that on Lakeland PBS at 2:30 p.m. March 28th. And then a new episode on Pioneer PBS. I know this is hard to keep track of. PrairieSportsman.com is all the details. But you can see our Fishing the Gunflint Trail episode with Don Walrath. That's on Pioneer PBS Sunday night at 7:30 p.m.
The next guide and outfitter examination for North Dakota has been set. Hi, this is Doug Lear with your weekly North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outdoors Report. The next guide and outfitter written examination is May 9th at 1 p.m. at the Game and Fish Department main office in Bismarck. The test is given periodically to anyone interested in becoming a guide or outfitter in the state. In addition to passing a written exam, qualifications for becoming a guide include a background check for criminal and game and fish violations, certification in cardiopulmonary resuscitation and standard first aid, and employment by or contract with a licensed hunting outfitter. Hunting outfitter eligibility requirements include the guide qualifications, as well as an individual must have held a hunting guide license for 2 years and must have proof of liability insurance. Any individual whose license to hunt or fish is suspended or revoked cannot be issued a guide or outfitter license. Interested individuals are required to pre-register by calling the Game and Fish Department's Enforcement Office at 328-6604. To learn more about hunting, fishing, trapping, conservation, and spending time in North Dakota's great outdoors, log on to the Game and Fish Department website, gf.nd.gov. That's this week's North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outdoors Report. I'm biologist Doug Lear.
It's almost spring and soon the ice will be melting. Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
If you want to have success fishing in Minnesota, you have to go where the fish are. And there may be no lake with more fish in it than Lake of the Woods. Not just big numbers of walleye, sauger, perch, eel pout, pike, muskie, bass, and sturgeon, but numbers of big fish too. Between the Rainy River, the main lake, and the Northwest Angle, you have over 50 resorts to choose from. Guided fishing allows for heated transportation to heated fish houses. Learn how to book a trip now at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. World-class fishing in a scenic, remote Saskatchewan location can be found at Tazon Lake Lodge. With lake trout catches nearing world record sizes, including a 47-inch by 35-inch giant estimated to be around 70 pounds. See the picture now at TazonLake.com. Tazon Lake Lodge will also put you on giant pike, and you can learn more about getting there at the Tazon Lake Lodge booth at the Northwest Sports Show in Minneapolis, April 2nd through the 5th, or go to TazonLake.com. Tazon Lake Lodge is a proud partner with Tourism Saskatchewan.
Broadcasting from the Tazon Lake Lodge studios, this is Sporting Journal Radio.
All right, welcome back to Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in across the network. By demand, sportingjournalradio.com, or by subscribing to that podcast wherever you get your favorite podcast. Coming up later in the show, we've got Sean Witt. He's a big fish angler in Europe, fishing the Netherlands and Sweden. The pike, just giant, giant pike. And obviously that trip isn't going to happen anytime soon. You got to stay a little bit closer to home. And one of those places closer to home where you can catch big pike generally this time of year is up at Lake of the Woods. And we're going to check in with Joe Henry right now, because we're in a weird time right now, Joe. And obviously I want to talk to you. Thanks for coming on the show, by the way. How's it going?
Good, good. By the way, I'm a big fish angler too. I just happen to choose a different body of water, and that's Lake of the Woods and the Rainy River.
Well, and those are obviously great, great places, and a little bit closer to home than the Netherlands. But you'll have to listen to this interview coming up, Joe. It's pretty cool. Anyway, I wanted to have you on because obviously we like to talk about the Rainy River this time of year, and some interesting news came out about the Rainy, and the public access is closed. And when I first heard that, I couldn't believe my eyes, when I first read it, I should say, I couldn't believe what I was reading, because I'd never heard of something like that really before. And obviously, this is a time of firsts. It seems like every day something takes place where I'm like, my gosh, I don't remember something like that ever happening before. And nobody's really quite sure what's going on right now. And then you and I discussed it a little bit. And the more I learned a little bit about it, the reasoning for it was pretty sound and pretty good reasoning. So, Joe, why don't you kind of just recap what took place up there this week?
Yeah. Well, you know, and I'll tell you what, I'll start out by saying, you know, unfortunately we are in unprecedented times, and, you know, people they've not had to go through this before, and people are scared. And that has a lot to do with it. They don't know the right thing to do. They're trying to do the right thing, and they're trying to protect their loved ones and their neighbors. At the same time, they're trying to understand how important tourism is to Lake of the Woods region. And, you know, it's a very challenging time. So in a nutshell, what happened was, you know, that when you talk about fishing the Rainy River in the springtime, you know, the accesses that open up first are the accesses that are east of Bedette, downriver, about 30 miles. The first one is typically Birchdale. And, you know, technically those, although a lot of people will stay in the Lake of the Woods Bedette area because it's close, technically that's Couchiching County. So Couchiching County and Lake of the Woods County really work well together. And they, you know, they got a lot of good teamwork there and making sure that they get the accesses opened up and they're plowed. And sometimes we even push ice out of the access area if the middle of the river is open. And, you know, it's a good working relationship. So Cooch County communicated with Lake of the Woods County and said, hey, we're thinking about blocking off those accesses just because, you know, with all the circumstances and the messaging we're hearing from our governor and seeing what's going on, you know, we may want to limit the number of people coming up to spring fish because, you know, especially when that first access pops open, there's only one access and everybody's got to go through it. So not only is there a lot of people at that access, but there's also people staying in hotels and resorts and frequenting, you know, the gas stations and bait shops and et cetera, et cetera. And they ask the question, in this time, do we really want a huge influx of lots and lots and lots of people coming up here? And from a public safety perspective, they said, although, you know, tourism is huge for our area, we think that we almost need to step up right now. You know, that combined with getting a lot of pressure from locals up there, because locals are scared about the influx of people under the circumstances. So to make a long story short, Cooch County and Lake of the Woods County agreed that for now, that they would block vehicle traffic to the four accesses along the Rainy River, which are in Cooch County east of Bidette. And then on top of it, the night before that, the city of Bidette has two accesses in the city, and they decided to do the same thing with theirs. So they led the way knowing that the two counties were going that direction, and the next day the two counties followed suit. Now, with that being said, you know, it makes it so that all those access points until further notice are closed down to spring fishing. I know that there is Lake of the Woods County will review their decision weekly. And I know Cooch County, I think they have a board meeting on April 14th, which technically is the last day of walleye fishing. So it's definitely closed for the walleye fishing. And of course, we'll have to take a look at sturgeon fishing coming up here, which goes well into May, and see, you know, how that's affected or not affected. But again, it's kind of a week by week thing. And, you know, Brett, people are just trying to do the right thing. And, you know, it's hard because you get locals that are scared and they're saying, gosh, please understand that, you know, we love tourism, but we're afraid for our families and our elderly. You know, we only have limited hospital beds in this area. We don't have any test kits. We don't have any respirators. And we're just concerned. And let's all come together and live to fight another day type of thing. Well, then, of course, you got anglers who, this is tradition. I mean, we have anglers calling up saying, is it really true that those accesses are shut down? I've been coming to the Rainy River for 50 years, and this would be the first year that I can't fish it.
Wow.
And, you know, so, I mean, you can understand both sides of it. You know, you get people saying, wait a second, you know, the state of Minnesota put right in their rule about, you know, shutting the state down that getting outdoors is a good thing and fishing is fine. If we practice social distancing, why shouldn't we be able to do that? And there's a good point. So you really can understand, you know, both sides. It's just a very difficult time.
Had to be a tough decision to make. And obviously, it's people traveling to areas. I think that's one thing where the state talked about, hey, you can still get outside and recreate, but maybe limit it to your home region, your home area. So you're not, you know, taxing those hotels and the gas stations and the people that work in some of those communities and the people that live in some of those communities. That's probably the main point to remember. It's just, my gosh. So this is a situation that is kind of being looked at constantly. So we don't know when that closure may open back up, Joe.
Yeah, exactly. And I would say it's much like, really, it's very fluid, and we're taking it week by week. I shouldn't say we. You know, Lake of the Woods Tourism had nothing to do with this decision. This was made by the local governments. And, you know, I think that's what the state of Minnesota is doing as well, is looking at things week by week. And, you know, even this the shutdown that they're talking about, you know, where you're supposed to stay at home, you know, they got that set up initially for a couple of weeks, but, you know, they're going to take a look at it here in one and a half weeks and determine if they should extend that or not based on, you know, where are things at. And, you know, really, that's kind of what we're doing too, is we're just kind of, you know, again, I shouldn't say we, the governments, I think, are trying to do the very best they can. And it's a very tough decision. They're just trying to, when it's all said and done, they're trying to protect people. and they're trying to do the right thing and in an unprecedented time. And I, you know, I understand it. I don't want to get too emotional because I love my spring fishing. And I, you know, and here's one thing that I want people to think about. You know, there's a lot of pain everywhere right now, but imagine the guide services that have built relationships, gone to sports shows, spent hours on the phones, spent hours on social media. They've edited videos to put it out there to promote spring fishing, and they've done all this. And they got all this stuff in the books. I talked to a resort owner, and those are just guide services. How about resorts that they have guides set up? They have their resorts filled up. They have cooks, cleaning, bartenders. I mean, all of this goes away. I talked to a resort owner that had to refund thousands and thousands of dollars of deposits. All that work to book people, to build those relationships, to build confidence, to tell the story of spring fishing, to get people to come up when the weather conditions are, it could be 50 degrees and sunny, or it could be a snowstorm. I mean, all this work, and it all has to be erased right now. And then yet you still, every time you open that resort door and turn that key, you owe money that day.
Yeah.
And all that goes away, and it just, you know, we could go on with the different industries and in different work situations where people are struggling. And, you know, I just, this isn't good for anybody. And it's a time that, hey, we're going to get through this thing, man. And, you know, we are going to get fishing again on the Rainy and in Lake of the Woods. Right now is just a real challenging time. And I think what we need to do is really pull together, put our positive hats on, and look for the future. Let's get through this thing together. Let's get this behind us as quick as we can. And let's look forward to the future. I mean, this whole thing stinks, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I know Trump got criticized for trying to talk about the economy and maybe trying to get the economy going again sooner rather than later. But how can you fault a guy for wanting that when people are going through the times that they're going through right now? I know there's the stimulus package, but you know, some of that stuff's only going to go so far for some people. But I wanted to ask you what you thought about or what the resorts were feeling about this, because with the state closing, because they closed bars and restaurants until May 1st, right? Did I read that correctly?
Well, they closed them, Brett. But you know, you can so give an example for the end of ice fishing when they first started talking about, you know, making changes and you can't go into bars and restaurants. Well, give an example of what some of our resorts had done to tweak it. So what they had done is they said, hey, when you're coming up here, you know, call us ahead. You can pay by credit card. You know what? When you check in, we're going to have your room cleaned extra good. We're using basically it's double clean, so it's sterilized. We left the cabin door unlocked. This is cabin number 10, let's say. They go into their cabin, they're good to go. You know what? You're in the meal plan. What we'll do is each night, based on whatever meals you're getting, we'll deliver those to the front of your cabin door. In the morning, we'll deliver your minnows. We'll deliver your breakfast, and we'll give you a map to which fish house you have on the lake. Now, either you can drive out there on your own. It should be pretty self-explanatory. If you'd like, just give us a buzz, and we'll lead you out in a separate vehicle so you can follow us right out on the ice. So my point was is that they were doing lots of really good creative things to follow the rules. You know, you still have people traveling. You still have people coming up to the area. And there's a lot of local social pressure on not to do that. Mm-hmm. And it's a really challenging time. I mean, you've read the articles about the North Shore. It's the same kind of thing that people are screaming, stay away, stay away, stay away, at least for now. And you can understand both sides of it. You really can. And sure. And yeah, again, you have people that have anxiety and they're afraid for their loved ones and their families. And they're trying to think long term. And, you know, their perspective is, yes, I understand that the outdoors is great for you and it's healthy and people need to clear their minds and it's cheap psychology and all that. But let's just take a break on the traveling part of it right now. And then you have others saying, gosh, if I come with my family and we stay away from everybody and we get out and enjoy the natural resources, how's that going to hurt?
Yeah.
So again, it's a tough decision.
Well, you know, I mean, then at that point you've almost got to, you know, just fill up gas cans, you know, so you're not going to the gas stations. I mean, there's impacts with traveling that aren't always realized right away, but it's such a tough thing. And hopefully, you know, I've no doubt in my mind, we'll get through this just fine. You know, eventually I just hope it goes doesn't go as long as some people think it will. Hopefully we get over it sooner rather than later and we get back to normal, because I got a lot of plans for this summer, and they include fishing and traveling. So we need to get things
figured out.
Well,
you know, and Brad, I'll tell you, the other thing I really hope is, you know, like we're talking about, you can see both sides. And this is a very challenging, stressful time for a lot of reasons. And I guess what I hope is, you know, watching some of the social media stuff going on out there, some of the conversations, and I really hope people take a deep breath and pull themselves up to the 10,000 foot level and decide to be nice to individuals that have maybe differences of opinion. Yeah. And I've seen a lot of really harsh things said out on social media. And I understand this is a very...
On social media? You know, get out of here.
More so now than ever. Yeah. And I guess... I would rather take the perspective that, you know, there's a lot of opinions out there, but people are just trying to do the right thing. Yeah, there's some people that just, you know, really are callous. But overall, people are scared. And, you know, let's just try to pull together at this time and work together best we can. Let's, in some cases, we might have to agree to disagree, but still respect each other and try to take the high road. And let's get through this thing together. It might sound melancholy. It might sound... you know, pie in the sky, but really, I think that's what we need to do. This isn't a good situation for anybody, but we are going to get through this.
Absolutely. Well, Joe, if people want to stay informed on what's going on up at Lake of the Woods and the Rainy River and all that, I'd assume we can follow that, the latest information on your Facebook page and website.
You know what? We're going to be sensitive to our messaging, and we're still going to be communicating things about open water fishing in the summer. I think we're going to put a lot more educational stuff out there just to be thinking ahead, but it's still interesting and helpful. And I would say if you want to access that stuff, it would be, you know, number one, the Lake of the Woods Tourism's Facebook page is a good resource. Otherwise, check out our website, and that is lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
We're doing some traveling through the radio when we come back, since you can't really go anywhere right now. We'll do it for you. We're going to the Netherlands to a guy that fishes for giant pike, catfish, perch, and zander. Talking like, these are like giant, like walleyes on steroids. They're catching 40 inches over there. And they're doing it in ways that are so similar to the way we fish over here. You won't realize half the time that we're talking about fishing 6 hours away in time zone distance. And you'll think that it's almost like listening to the guys right here talk about fishing, except they got a little bit of an accent. Sean Witt is next on Sporting Journal Radio. World-class fishing in a scenic, remote Saskatchewan location can be found at Tazon Lake Lodge. With lake trout catches nearing world record sizes, including a 47-inch by 35-inch giant, estimated to be around 70 pounds. See the picture now at TazonLake.com. Tazon Lake Lodge will also put you on giant pike, and you can learn more about getting there at the Tazon Lake Lodge booth at the Northwest Sports Show in Minneapolis, April 2nd through the 5th, or go to TazonLake.com. Tazon Lake Lodge is a proud partner with Tourism Saskatchewan. If you want to have success fishing in Minnesota, you have to go where the fish are. And there may be no lake with more fish in it than Lake of the Woods. Not just big numbers of walleye, sauger, perch, eel pout, pike, muskie, bass, and sturgeon, but numbers of big fish too. Between the Rainy River, the main lake, and the Northwest Angle, you have over 50 resorts to choose from. Guided fishing allows for heated transportation to heated fish houses. Learn how to book a trip now at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
It's almost spring, and soon the ice will be melting. Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's HayBaleHeights.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
Broadcasting from the Tazon Lake Lodge Studios, this is Sporting Journal Radio.
Welcome back to Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in across the network. 30 stations coming on April 4th. We'll add our 30th station in Rochester. Thanks for tuning in on this station right here, or by listening on demand at sportingjournalradio.com, or by subscribing to the podcast wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Well, the world we're living in, it's a weird one right now, and it's getting increasingly smaller every day.
as social media allows you to see into the sometimes daily lives of people living all over the planet. And if you're like me, you've probably searched through certain keywords on platforms like Instagram. Maybe you've typed in fishing just to see what fishing is like all over, you know, whoever's used the hashtag fishing to see what fishing is like all over the world. Maybe Northern Pike. Well, if you put those keywords, those hashtags in, you've probably come across a guy named Sean Witt from the Netherlands. You'll see some of the biggest pike. I've seen some of the biggest pike I've ever seen on there. And you can follow him on Instagram at SeanWittNL. Help him out because he only has, 60,000 followers on there. Help him out. Help him get a couple more.
I need some support.
Right. Well, Sean joins us now on the radio show to talk about giant fish, social media, filming, and what his world looks like right now. Sean, thanks for coming on the radio show.
It's an honor. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. And it's always fun to talk about fishing and a shared passion. So I'm really happy to join you.
I've had some long distance guests on this show before, but you may be the furthest away. Where are you exactly?
I'm based in the Netherlands, so close to Amsterdam, actually. In the Netherlands, we actually are blessed with a number of river systems that are flowing out into the ocean in the Netherlands. And the final stretch of the river comes out in certain, you know, particular lakes and river deltas, which makes this a really productive freshwater fishing area. And that's my main base. And then I also venture towards Sweden to do some spring fishing. And during the summer, sometimes when it gets too warm in the Netherlands, I'll hand out a bit more up north towards Sweden. But most of my fishing is in the Netherlands. And if you want to catch a big pike, the Netherlands is definitely the place to be.
I'll tell you what, when I was younger, I definitely wanted to go to Amsterdam, but fishing wasn't necessarily the number one reason for it. Now I want to go there to go fishing. That's amazing. I had no, you know, so we're here in Minnesota and our state fish is the walleye. So a lot of anglers here are familiar with Zander, which we like to think of as giant walleyes, basically. You have those there as well?
The Zander we have as well. We have some record-breaking Zander as well. And the funny thing about those Zander is we used to fish them a lot vertically, like doing a jig and close to the bottom and trying to follow the contours of the bottom. And occasionally there would come a Zander up, which is like 90 centimeters or longer than that. And like a meter plus Zander was like the holy grail. And those were like exceptional fish. And they still are, but people switch towards targeting like pelagic sharpshooting or fishing them in like the middle water column, especially during nights. And then suddenly we're actually learning that all those years we targeted those Zander in the wrong way, actually, because those big ones, they don't stay close to the bottom as often as we thought they would. They are just hunting like pike, searching the upper water columns and just targeting bigger bait fish. And now a lot of guys have switched to fishing in the complete darkness and using life systems like the Panoptix Life Scope from Garmin. And they catch amazingly big Zander. We have, like, besides having a really big pike, we also have giant Zander. I think the current record has been caught a couple of weeks ago, which is 1.6 meters, which is just enormous for a Zander. So, We do have big Zander, definitely.
So you said 1.6 meters, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's do some math here. How many centimeters is that then?
Yeah, 106 centimeters.
So, 106 centimeters. Okay, so I've got my calculator up here. So that's
You want it in inches.
Almost 42 inches.
Yep.
Holy smoke! So like a 30-inch walleye for us is kind of that target, that trophy, which would be 76 centimeters, just over 76 centimeters. So you're talking over 10 inches bigger than that. Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, they're enormous.
And that Panoptix is amazing too. It's an unbelievable tool. Electronics have come such a long ways. And so Xander, I'm assuming if you're talking about targeting them in the dark at night, we do that a lot for walleyes. In fact, on our walleye opener in the spring, after the spawning season, a lot of guys, it's a tradition to go out at midnight when the season opens at midnight and fish them in the dark. So they have similar I don't know what the proper way to say this, eye structure where they're light sensitive, like a walleye?
Yeah, they are really light sensitive, and that's why they are keen in dark, hunting in the dark, because they, especially in a lot of lakes in the Netherlands, have become more and more clear. So it used to be really good Zander lakes we fought because the water was quite murky in the Netherlands, and they changed some regulations and did some
some stuff that conserves agriculture, like less pollution into the water, which make the water more clear, which is one of the reasons why the pike fishing in the Netherlands has become so good. And we thought that the zander fishing would be affected in a negative way. But now because we switched to fishing in the darkness, we learned that the zander are still there, are growing bigger, but just are more focused in hunting in the night. And that, yeah, I think they have the same eye structure, like you mentioned, as the walleye do, but they grow quite big. Yeah.
I'm becoming more and more convinced that things are a lot more similar between there and here, because we have water pollution issues because of agriculture as well. And we have some lakes, we have zebra mussels, which are really clearing up the water on some of our big walleye lakes. We have a lake called Mille Lacs here, which is kind of a world-class walleye fishery in Minnesota. It's very clear. In fact, there's night fishing bans, just because of how much better the fishing gets at night. They actually ban it, so you can't go out there and fish.
Wow.
Yeah, there's some issues regarding management on that lake. In fact, this summer it's going to be all catch and release. In fact, and it's even going to be closed for July, the hottest month. It's going to be closed for walleye fishing because they worry about hook mortality when the water gets really warm. But we could sit here and talk about walleye and zander for hours, I think, especially when it comes to, you know, water quality and conservation, things like that. But I really want to talk about pike too. Sean Witt is our guest. He's in the Netherlands here on Sporting Journal Radio. The first time our radio show has gone to the Netherlands, at least electronically. I appreciate the time here on the radio show. We obviously talked about your Instagram page, but we can find you on YouTube as well. Do we look for White Label Fishing on YouTube?
Yeah, if you search for White Label Fishing, you can definitely find it. White Label Fishing is a collaboration between a couple of content creators and fishing guides, brand independent. That's why we call it White Label Fishing, because I'm connected to brands like Savage Gear and Hummingbird and Minn Kota. But other guys are connected to different brands, and we wanted to find a platform where we can just share our knowledge and experience and be brand independent in that way. Because on my Instagram page, obviously I'm tied down and connected to certain sponsor deals and stuff.
Sure.
But having a channel which allows us to broadcast stuff which is not as heavily brand influenced, but just sharing knowledge and cool experiences. That is that was our main goal, and that's why we are displaying a lot of our videos, where we have trips to Sweden or trips in the Netherlands, and we try to find the right balance between producing entertaining videos and at the same time being really informative as well.
Yeah, that is a brilliant idea, and I'm surprised to see, I guess I shouldn't be, but I'm surprised to see some of those same brands that you'd see associated with anglers here and marketing here for fishing in the United States, Hummingbird, the Minn Kota, the same names. But that's brilliant to be able to tie in, because a lot of times you get so connected to a sponsor that it gets hard to do anything, with somebody else, or, you know, go somewhere else or do whatever, because you don't want, you know, you have to be careful of your relationships with your brands.
Yeah.
But to be able to collaborate like that, and obviously you guys are getting the views and you're doing great work, so the brands have to be happy with the work that you're doing. But I know sometimes viewers, they don't want to see a big, long commercial. They want to see something entertaining, something informative. That's brilliant to be able to do that, Sean.
No, well, great to hear. But also, like a couple of minutes ago, we talked about the Garmin with the panoptics and stuff. I think it should be possible to talk about the benefits from other brands as well. I mean, it's obviously that no brand is perfect there out on the market. And if someone has one particular strong point, and I'm willing and happy to talk about it. And that's also with the channel as well. It's, some baits are really excellent to work with, and it should be a waste if we can't display it or tell it to other people because there's certain sponsor connections it's working so far. So that's good.
I'm going to test your math skills one more time here, because for whatever reason, in the United States, we like to be different than the rest of the world. But if you look at any of Sean's pictures or videos, these big pike, it looks like you don't catch anything under 30 pounds. I know you guys probably don't go by pounds over there. I want to ask what you do when it comes to weighing fish, if you weigh them. Sean Witt is our guest. He's in the Netherlands. He catches giant fish. See a picture and link to some of his videos at sportingjournalradio.com, or look on our Facebook page. You'll see this massive, massive pike posted there. Make sure to follow Sporting Journal Radio on Facebook and Instagram, because we'll keep you updated on the latest, where you can go, what you can do, what's open, what's not. Find Sporting Journal Radio on Instagram and Facebook. World-class fishing in a scenic, remote Saskatchewan location can be found at Tazon Lake Lodge. With lake trout catches nearing world record sizes, including a 47-inch by 35-inch giant, estimated to be around 70 pounds. See the picture now at TazonLake.com. Tazon Lake Lodge will also put you on giant pike, and you can learn more about getting there at the Tazon Lake Lodge booth at the Northwest Sports Show in Minneapolis, April 2nd through the 5th, or go to TazonLake.com. Tazon Lake Lodge is a proud partner with Tourism Saskatchewan. If you want to have success fishing in Minnesota, you have to go where the fish are. And there may be no lake with more fish in it than Lake of the Woods. Not just big numbers of walleye, sauger, perch, eel pout, pike, muskie, bass, and sturgeon, but numbers of big fish too. Between the Rainy River, the main lake, and the Northwest Angle, you have over 50 resorts to choose from. Guided fishing allows for heated transportation to heated fish houses. Learn how to book a trip now at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com. It's almost spring and soon the ice will be melting. Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Haybale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Haybale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio. Broadcasting from the Tazon Lake Lodge studios, this is Sporting Journal Radio.
Welcome back to Sporting Journal Radio. Our guest, Sean Witt from the Netherlands. Find him on Facebook, Instagram, White Label Fishing on YouTube. We're talking about the size of these pike, and I know you guys don't go by pounds over there, right?
It's kilograms over kilograms, here, but we... Yeah. It's also a fun thing in the Netherlands when it comes to discussions about, well, for instance, do we measure them or do we weigh them? I'm more of a fan of actually measuring the fish in length, because I think the uniqueness of, when it comes to pike, for instance, the uniqueness of a fish comes more out of its length than actually its weight, because weight is so dependent on the time of year you can actually catch it. If it's just close towards spawning and right after winter, you usually get them at their fattest. But the uniqueness of the fish itself is more in its length. It tells more about the age and the unique DNA that that fish has. And also when it comes to weight, yeah, you can just have a lucky morning and the fish ate a big burbot for breakfast and just add 2 extra kilos to the scale. So I'm more of a fan when it comes to weight. Yeah, for a length. I mean, I think I definitely want to catch a heavy pike. I mean, heavy fish are more beautiful than skinny fish, for sure.
Yeah.
But if I have to choose, then, yeah, a long fish on like 130 centimeters is like the holy grail when it comes to the Netherlands, pike fishing in the Netherlands. Yeah, those are the target fish.
Yeah, and we're the same way over here. We, for the most part, we like to measure more than way, but and you see a fat fish like that, and everybody's just curious to know what the weight is. So a lot of times on a fat fish, we'll measure the girth too, and then we'll just use one of those conversion scales to see what the estimated weight is, because you can put some stress on the fish when you weigh them too, depending on how you're doing it. So Sean Witt is our guest here, Sporting Journal Radio. He's in the Netherlands. We're talking about fishing for big fish all over the world. And you brought up some of the holy grail, some of those big fish. And, we've got decent pike fishing here too, and muskies, of course. And for us, that 40-inch pike is kind of that trophy measurement. That's 101.6 centimeters. See, I did a little bit of math work before the interview here today. And then a 50-inch muskie for us, 127-centimeter muskie. Those are kind of the goals here, at least in the United States. They are attainable here in Minnesota. They're tough to find. What did you say was kind of the, what's the trophy target for pike? And do you guys even have muskies over there?
We don't have any muskies, fortunately. It would be fun to fish for them, for sure. We only have northern pike, which is the most popular species, I reckon. And then we have Xander, which we talked about, and then we have perch. And catfish is really upcoming as well. And when it comes to like the trophy size, when it comes to northern pike, it's close to that 50-inch muskie target you have over
50
there.
Inch.
It's, wow. Yeah, 50-inch pike, yeah.
Gosh, and I spend my summers up in Saskatchewan, and I know you and I have talked about Tazon Lake a little bit. through social media. We've had three pike over 50 inches in the last 2 years up there. And the first one I saw was 51 and a half. And I'd never seen a pike like that, at least not up close and in person. And to see that thing get lifted out of a net, I could not believe the size of that fish, the size of the head on that fish when it came out. It's just amazing how big those fish are.
What do they feed on over there, the pike?
Burbot, and then like a Cisco or Tulibee whitefish.
Yeah.
In Tasman anyway, that's kind of the prime forage. That's a main forage base for a lot of our big walleye, lake trout, muskie, pike lakes. A lot of times those Tulibees, and then when you get further north, some of the burbot, or we call them eel pouts here. You get up in Canada, they call them burbot. They've got five or six different names, but it sounds like a similar forage base. Perch is a big forage for our big fish as well.
Yeah, here, that's the same here as well. We don't have a really big burbot population. We do have a lot of eels in the Netherlands, so they're quite similar. And I think they're a really rich food source for them as well. In Sweden, we do get a lot of pike that are feeding on the burbot, which is interesting because the burbot in Sweden, I don't know if it's the same up there, but the burbot in Sweden really like the cold water, and they go quite shallow when the water is still really cold. And then it's really beneficial for us anglers. We can catch the pike on quite shallow waters when the water temperature is still low, because they're just so fond of eating those burbots. And the burbots are living between the rocks and trying to forage between the rocks in the early spring. And then especially early in the morning and at the end of the day when the sun is going down, the pike are just going up and trying to sneak up on those burbots that are just shallow between the rocks. And we had so many pike that we caught with the burbot sticking out of the throat. So, yeah.
Well, I don't blame them. Burbot are delicious, you know. They've become a popular fish here in northern Minnesota for anglers to target, actually.
Oh yeah, I've seen them catching in Sweden when you normally would target Zander. They target burbot as well with vertical jigging and catching burbot, which are close to the 40 inch that we talked about.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's gigantic burbot.
Is that mostly in the winter then, through the ice? Or is that in the summer too?
Summer as well.
Oh, really?
Summer as well.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Do you do much ice fishing over there?
We don't have any ice in the Netherlands for 15 years or something. We used to have solid ice during the winter, but this year, maybe two or three mornings where we had some frost, like -2, -3 degrees Celsius, but that was it. No snow at all this winter, and no ice, obviously, as well. And in Sweden, which is almost 1,000 kilometers up north, similar situation, hardly any ice or snow at the moment. So it's a weird winter. It's a really weird winter.
Sean Witt, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio. You can find him on Facebook, Instagram, Sean Witt NL on Instagram, and then also on YouTube under White Label Fishing. You brought up Sweden, and I wanted to talk about a video. And I was doing a little bit of research this morning, and I was cruising around on the YouTube page there, and I came across a video, and I wish I would have started looking earlier, because this is about an hour long video, and I didn't get a chance. I'm only five minutes into it, and I know I almost postponed the interview just so I could watch the rest of the video, Sean, because I want to watch it. But you went up there with a friend and did a big long camping trip up there in Sweden.
Yeah, it was a trip to remember. We fished the area for close to 12 years. And it's a big system of lakes which are connected to with each other through old locks, which are built in the 1800s. And by connecting all these lakes, they made a long canal which spans over 250 kilometers. And it's built with old manual controlled locks, and you come from different settings, from really rough terrain towards forest lakes, towards one of the biggest lakes in Europe, actually, where you cannot see the other side of the lake, which is quite unique for European standards. And the entire trip was done just by camping, and just with some camping gear, and just went from through locks and through different lakes, and we crossed the entire lake system in close to 9 days. And just being out there and just relying on your camping gear, your equipment, and being out there in the wilderness was just one hell of an experience. And we caught some really, really good looking fish in the meantime. Yeah.
You know, it sounds like you're living in Minnesota and Sweden is your Canada. Like we'll go up to northern Minnesota, up into Canada to do trips like that, and you go up into Sweden. It sounds fairly similar to what we do here. Although some of your videos I've noticed are in English, and some are not. Are most of them you do in English, or
Most of them we do in English. Yeah, definitely. Some of the older work might have been in Dutch, and but we do most of them in English. Yeah. I'm quite used to talking, with a lot of guiding customers that I get over, but also with friends from me in Sweden. We are blessed with the people in Sweden speak fluently English, so that's really good to do. So most of the videos are in English, and it's just easier to reach a bigger crowd when you do it in English. And one of the few Dutch content creators that do it in English, most of them do it in native Dutch language, which is fine, but yeah.
Yeah, I wish growing up in America, you're more encouraged to learn some different languages and be a little more fluent in some other languages. But obviously, English is a big language around the world. But do you find a lot of your audience is from the United States or Canada or Europe, or where do you find most of your audience at?
Yeah, my biggest piece of my audience, like for Instagram, for instance, I get a really large chunk of my audience from the U.S.
Okay.
But in Europe, it's just scattered all over the place. Germany, France, Sweden, Norway, Belgium, the Netherlands. We're like a relatively small country. I mean, we only have 17 million people in our country. So we don't have a really large audience when compared to like Germany, which is over 40 million. And well, the U.S. and Canada it dwarfs the Netherlands when it comes to inhabitants. But we do have a lot of fanatic sport fishers, anglers in the Netherlands. We have over 2 million anglers. Compared to
really?
A population of 70 million, that's quite unique, yeah.
Wow. Sean Witt, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio. You know, I have some Dutch in my lineage, and Swedish mostly. And then my sister married a guy from Ireland. So she goes over to Ireland all the time, and she's always invited me to come over. And I've wanted to come over. I've never been over to that part of the world. I've wanted to. And I was probably going to tag along and go to Ireland and Scotland and see that part of the world. But now after starting to see this, it's the Dalsland Canal Expedition video. I want to go to Sweden, John.
Well, I can tell you that I can highly recommend going to Sweden and do a similar trip like this. But, you know, you shouldn't skip Ireland either, because if you want to fight one of the strongest strains of pike, you have to definitely go to Ireland.
Really?
It's a whole different scale, yeah. I haven't had the chance to do it, but I have a trip coming up to Ireland. Friends of mine did it over there, and I have some videos of people catching pike over there. But imagine your strongest pike that you caught over there, like me having caught in the Netherlands, and then times four. They just jump and thresh around. It's almost like catching a tarpon.
Really?
It's really insane how strong they are over there. Yeah.
Man. Well, I spent a lot of time in Saskatchewan, as we mentioned, Taslin Lake. We got some big pike. We had a lake trout last year that was estimated around 72 pounds. That laker had a 35.5-inch girth. I mean, it was 47 long by 35.5 around. And you're right, that girth can depend, and the weight can depend so much on what they're eating.
Still,
but man,
it was so stunning.
It was just unbelievable. You know, it didn't even look real, you know. Well, tell you what, Sean, we're running out of time here today, but I want to have you back on again next week, because I got a lot more to talk to you about, questions to ask about what it's like in your world right now. And then more about these big, big fish traveling to Sweden. A very cool trip that you took up there. Sean Witt, more with Sean coming up next week on Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for listening.